This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the latest set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards. This set is based on this series, 40 Days of Love. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called Love is Not Easily Angered.
Now, what is the best way to deal with anger? Well, I need to tell you three ways that don't work, that the world teaches, and then God's way. You don't suppress it, you don't repress it, you don't express it, you confess it. Got that? Let's try it again. I'll take them one at a time. You don't suppress it. So write that down. Don't suppress it. Now, what does suppression mean? It means when you stuff it, when you store it up inside. Now, when you store up anger inside, that's like taking a Coke bottle and shaking it up. It's eventually going to explode, and it's going to come out sideways, sometimes in a relationship that's not even related to the person you're angry at. Suppressing it, pushing it down doesn't work. As I said earlier, if you don't talk it out, you take it out on your body. If you swallow your anger, your back, your stomach, your neck, whatever, keep score, and it's going to come out in your body. So you don't suppress it. That's storing it up inside. The second thing you don't do is you don't repress it. Don't repress your anger. Now, what does repression mean? Repression means denying. It means saying, I'm not angry. Repression means pretending like you're not ticked off, that you're not irritated, that you're not mad at your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or the boyfriend who took advantage of you. Don't repress it. That means pretending that it didn't happen. Denial. And that doesn't work either. Now, there is a word for repressed anger. Do you know what repressed anger is? It's depression. Depression, the number one cause of depression, is repressed anger. When you push anger down in you, it causes you to get depressed. Now, that's not the only cause of depression, but it's the number one cause of depression. Depression is often frozen rage. It's swallowing your anger. Most of you know, if you've been around Saddleback for any length of time, the stories, crazy stories, about Kay and I in our early years in marriage. When we got married, we really didn't know each other. We got engaged. I moved to Japan, and she moved to Birmingham, Alabama. We were apart our entire engagement time. And when we got married, it's like, we love each other, but who are you? And we discovered after we got married that we were polar opposites. I mean, opposite in every single DNA cell of our body. I see it this way, you see it that way, oh, blah, dee, oh, blah, da. I say hi, you say low. I say why, you say I don't know. And it was Tweedledee, Tweedledum, yin and yang. I mean, we're literally opposite. And we started fighting on the honeymoon. I'm not making this up. And within 6 months, our marriage had gone from bad to worse to hell on earth. And we both felt deeply disappointed. And we just thought, what happened? We were in love with each other. We felt God brought us together, but we were so different. And the problem was we were just immature. Let me give you a whole lot of counseling, marriage counseling, in two words. Ready? Grow up. The number one cause for marriage incompatibility is not incompatibility. I don't even believe in incompatibility. It is a myth made up by divorce lawyers. Any two people can become compatible if they're willing to grow up, if they're willing to be unselfish. The root cause of every single marriage problem is selfishness. I want what I want when I want it, and you want what you want when you want it, and my will and ego faces your ego, and we're going to fight. And it's all about I. It's all about me. It's not about we. It's about me. And even when one person wants to do the we, if the other one wants to be an I, you're going to have problems. And it really comes down to just grow up. What is incompatibility? It's immaturity. Any two people can learn to get along with each other if they're willing to grow, if they're willing to be loving, if they're willing to think of more than themselves, if they're willing to compromise and be willing to think of the other person. But Kay and I got married, and we were just miserable. And we were too proud to go get counseling. We eventually did, and it saved our marriage. But I remember about 6 months into the marriage, Kay thought she was going insane from the pressure. She thought she was losing her mind. And I got so sick from swallowing my anger, because I didn't know how to get it out, I ended up in the hospital, clinically depressed. Yeah, me, Rick Warren, clinically depressed. And I remember the psychiatrist came in to see me in the hospital, and the guy looked like Freud, and I thought, man, I really am in bad trouble. You know, the beard and the whole bit, and he was German, and all he needed was the pipe, you know? And he looks at me, and I'm laying there in this hospital in bed, and he says, what are you angry about? I said, I'm not angry, I'm depressed. He said, no, you're angry. I said, I am not angry, I'm depressed. He said, you're angry. What are you angry about? You won't admit it, that's why you're depressed. I said, I'm not angry. He said, depression is frozen rage. And the truth was, I was angry at Kay. I felt cheated, I felt disappointed, I felt like, hey, this is not supposed to be this way. No, I'm glad we hung on, and I'm glad we went and got counseling, and, you know, it was costing $100 a week to go to counseling at the time, and I was making $800 a month teaching at a college. And I racked up a $1,500 bill on my MasterCard. I should do a commercial. A saved marriage, priceless.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
One of the most popular resources we've mentioned here on the broadcast are the Daily Hope Bible Memorization Cards. We get a ton of requests for them. And because Pastor Rick likes to keep things interesting, we've added another deck of 52 scripture cards based on the Bible verses in this series. These cards are graphically designed and will encourage you to spend time learning the Word of God. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love Bible Memorization Cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Your prayers and gifts are taking God's message of hope across our nation and around the world. Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
And people say, I can't afford counseling. I say, how much is your marriage worth? How much is your happiness worth? I'd pay $1 million. I'd pay $10 million for what I've got today. I got a great marriage today. My wife's my best friend. She's my lover, my closest friend. There'd be no Saddleback Church without it. But that was the wimpiest applause I've ever had. I want to tell you that. So when somebody says, well, we can't afford counseling, you can't afford not to get it. How much is your happiness worth? How much is saving your marriage worth? I mean, I would have been a divorce 33 years ago. I wouldn't be standing here talking, helping you if I had just given up on it and said, well, we're incompatible. Anyway, the truth is I repressed it, and that was causing my depression. You don't repress it. You don't suppress it. The third thing you don't do is you don't express it. You don't express it. Because when you express your anger, you're going to tend to just create more. And when you express your anger in inappropriate ways, it damages the relationship. Now, we all have our favorite ways of expressing, and they're all inappropriate. No one's more holier than anybody else. Some of you are, you got a black belt in sarcasm. I mean, when somebody gets you angry, it's you pull out that and your tongue is like, whoosh, 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 you know, slice, slice, slice. I mean, you got a kung fu tongue, man. And you're good at cold cuts. You got a deli mouth, okay? And you're actually proud of it. I'm so witty. Look at that one I just did. And you're destroying the relationship with your sarcasm. And you cut and cut and cut. That's not the way to express anger. Now, others of you, you're not sarcastic. You're not that sharp with the words. But you are great at manipulation. And your motto is, don't get mad, get even. And that woman who said that thing about, oh, she will rue the day she ever said that about me. And you figure out a way to manipulate and hurt and destroy that person who hurt you behind the scenes. And you got a war plan that would make General Patton proud. And a lot of TV movies are built on that one. Figuring out a way to get even, manipulate. And that's no better than the sarcasm. Others of you, man, you're Mount Vesuvius. You just blow up. And the hot lava comes out, and she's a maniac, maniac. You know, it just comes out all over. And others of you, you think you're so self-righteous because you're the powder. Poor me. Mary Martyr. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. And you have your way of manipulating, and everybody knows in the family, mom's pouting again. And so everybody has to walk on eggshells, because if she just doesn't get her way, it's going to be bad time in Dodge City. None of those ways are appropriate. Whether you do the silent manipulation or the overt stinking up the place, they're all wrong. Some people, when they get angry, they express it in crazy behavior. My husband had an affair. Oh, great. I'll go have an affair. Oh, that's smart. I'll get him. That's like, you know, shooting a rifle at yourself so you can hit him with a kick of the recoil. I mean, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Your crazy behavior. You say, well, I'm going to go take some drugs, or I'm going to go get drunk with some boys. Or no, don't. You don't suppress it. You don't repress it. You don't express it. What do? God says the way to deal with your anger is to confess it. You let it out to God. You let it out. You admit it first to yourself. I'm angry. And you admit it to God, God, I'm mad and I'm angry, and you talk to God about it, and you confess not just the anger but the cause. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. I'm scared. I feel insecure. I feel this is out of control. And you admit the cause behind the anger. You confess it. That's how you deal effectively with anger. Now, this number five, the next step, is a key to permanent, long-term change. These others have dealt with at the moment. But if you're serious about saying, you know what, I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be a mute or a martyr or a maniac. I don't want to clam up or blow up. I want to learn the proper ways. Number five is repattern your mind. You must repattern your mind. And the Bible teaches, has a lot to teach about this, that you rethink and change the way you think. You see, the way you express your anger, you didn't just get that overnight. Your presumed pattern of behavior is a learned response. Somebody modeled it for you. You just didn't automatically choose it. Somebody modeled it for you. An anger response is a learned response, and you learn some bad things. The good news is you can unlearn it. You don't have to stay that way. You can learn new patterns. You can learn new habits. You don't have to keep perpetuating what your parents and their parents and the parents for did in three or four generations. I've seen this. You see, every time I get angry in an inappropriate way, I'm modeling it for my kids. And I'm teaching them how to do it the wrong way. And they're going to teach their kids how to do it the wrong way. And somebody has to say, stop the insanity. Break the chain. I'm going to repattern my mind. The good news is it can be unlearned. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. What's the behavior of this world? The behavior of this world is repress, express, suppress. One of those three. And this is, by the way, why the violence in media is not a good thing. Television and movies are filled with violent responses to people who are frustrated, out of control, feel out of control, or hurt. And kids learn the models. They learn from the models that they observe. And I don't want to teach my kids wrong ways to be angry. Now, he says here, learn, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Circle, changing the way you think. This is the key to learning a new way to handle anger. Change the way you think. When you act in angry ways, it's because you feel angry. And when you feel angry, it's because you're choosing to think angry thoughts. Now, look at this. The way I think affects the way I feel. Every time I feel something, it's because I'm thinking something. Every emotion you feel has a thought behind it. And when you think this, then you're going to feel, if I feel depressed, it's because I'm thinking depressed thoughts. The way I think determines the way I feel, and the way I feel determines the way I act. If I want to change the way I act, let's say I'm tendency to be abusive, to fly off the handle, to reach out, to show physical violence. You don't focus on the behavior. You start by going back here, not even the way you feel. You start by changing what you think. And if you change that thought, that mental process, it's going to change your feeling, it's going to change your behavior. The Bible says be changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what God does. He's the one who can change those thought patterns in your mind. And to break the habit of anger, you have to get some mental reconditioning.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. One of the most popular resources we've mentioned here on the broadcast are the Daily Hope Bible Memorization Cards. We get a ton of requests for them. And because Pastor Rick likes to keep things interesting, we've added another deck of 52 scripture cards based on the Bible verses in this series. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
These cards are graphically designed and will encourage you to spend time learning the Word of God. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love Bible memorization cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.